Good morning, everyone. We've been talking about spiritual blessings this month, and I want to continue that thought. And today we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. And Paul's no stranger to Corinth. He founded the church there. He spent 18 months there teaching, getting the church set up. And now he's writing to the church. The scholars argue, we have 1st, 2nd Corinthians in the Bible, and some say there was a third epistle that is no longer extant or wasn't included. Others say, well, 1st Corinthians is actually 1st and 2nd, and then the 2nd Corinthians is actually the 3rd. I don't care. These are epistles that Paul wrote to this struggling church. And he begins in 1 Corinthians by praising God for the spiritual gifts that they had received, for their faith in Jesus Christ. They believed the preaching of the cross. They had become Christians, we call them today. And Paul praises them for that. But then in the rest of the first epistle, he has to correct some bad behavior and wrong behavior. So he has to rebuke them for some things, but then he encourages them in other things, and he answers questions that they had asked about marriage and celibacy and the Lord's Supper and things like that. And in today's text, what we're reading, Paul has come under attack by some false teachers, and Paul referred to them as super apostles, who were causing the church to question whether Paul was really an apostle. You know, he wasn't like the 11 in Jerusalem. Paul finds himself having to defend his ministry, and we're going to look at that today, but he tells them it's pointless. He even brags a little bit, but he lets them know when he's done this, all this bragging is pointless. And that's what we're going to look at today. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it's truth. Father, I pray that you will open every ear here, open every heart to receive and understand your word. Your word will accomplish what you sent it out to do. Lord, I ask that I would decrease, that you might increase as we look at this text, that you would speak to each and every heart here. If there's anyone here today that's never called out on your name, I pray this will be the day of salvation for them. Because, Lord, the door's only open for a while. And then you're going to close that door to grace and mercy. And then comes the judgment. I just ask your blessing on everyone that's here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. If you're visiting here first time, I call it the word on the wall. That way, we're all reading out of the same translation. I'm using the English Standard Version today. Have been in the New Living, but I chose the English Standard today. And that way we're all on the same page. We're all reading the same thing. So Paul says, though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. As I said, Paul was under attack by so-called apostles. They were questioning his authority. As I told you, in the first epistle, he has to do some rebuking, he has to do some correcting. And Wayne and I were talking yesterday about how in the church we don't like change. And a church, you got to change if you want to grow. You have to be willing to change things if you want to grow. I'm not talking about changing the gospel, changing the message, but some things you might have to change. But something else we don't like in the church is rebuke, correction. When we think that we're right and by golly, we got it all figured out, and we're going by the Word of God, and some teacher or the Word of God presented by a teacher convicts us. And we realize we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not doing what we've been called to do. We don't like that. And it was no different then. And Paul's written this letter, and he admits in the second epistle that it was, some of it was rather strongly worded. Paul said, it broke my heart to have to write it, but I had to write it. You know, being a minister, a pastor, an elder, it's not all fun and games. Sometimes you have to put your foot down with people. You have to correct bad behavior. You have to point sin out. And nobody likes doing that. If they do, they got a problem. Nobody likes that kind of confrontation, but it's necessary. And if you bother to read the scriptures, God commanded that all through the Old Testament. He told the Jews, you've got sin in the camp, you deal with that, then I'll go with you. Then I'm going to be with you. So the sin in the camp affected the whole nation. Known sin in the church affects the whole church. And Paul had to rebuke him on an instance of that, of a case of incest that was going on in the church. And he said, if you allow this to go on, it's going to spread through the whole church. The sin will spread through the whole church. So these people, some of them are a little bit sore. And they're listening to these people saying, well, Paul isn't really an apostle. You know, he didn't get saved till after the Lord went back to heaven, and he claims he's an apostle, but we're just not that sure. They didn't like his rebukes. They didn't like the fact that he taught, you know, that he encouraged them. But as I said, he was no stranger to this area. He'd been there 18 months teaching them. So now he has been placed in a position that he has to defend himself some. And he tells them when he begins this, this is foolish. I shouldn't have to do this. You know me. You know I'm an apostle. I did the signs of an apostle. You know, he said, I'm your spiritual father in Christ. Now, they didn't call him Father Paul, but Paul said, I'm the one that begot you in Christ. I gave birth to you in Jesus Christ. I'm the one that brought you the gospel, so you know who I am. But these other people were trying to push Paul out of the way. And Paul called them super apostles. He said they were men who preached for the love of money. Boy, a lot of them today. Yeah, church waves that paycheck under their nose and says, now this is what we want to hear. And if you want to get paid, this is what you're going to preach. I have Peter's attitude. Let your money perish with you. I'm going to preach what God tells me to preach. You don't want to pay me, don't pay me. I'm all right. I'm not bragging. Don't look at me like, so you look at me like, well, who do you think you are? I'm just saying that's the stance I take. And Paul said these men are hucksters. He compares them to men who can manipulate a deck of cards. You ever play poker with somebody who could manipulate a deck? I used to play poker with a guy like that. He knew what hand he gave you when it hit the table. How'd we go from talking about Jesus to poker? Well, there's a reason. Just bear with me. But Paul said these people manipulate God's word. Do you ever hear that going on today? Turn on the television. Watch some of these TV preachers. That's exactly what they're doing. And they didn't like Paul pointing that out. Some of the church was still stinging over some of the corrections he had to make. So now Paul finds himself in a place that he's trying to defend his ministry. And he said these preachers love to brag about their credentials. You know, I got a degree. Well, good for you. It's not that I don't respect degrees. I don't have a degree. I didn't stay that long. But I've met some educated idiots in my day. I'm sorry, but that's just the way I look at it. They got a THD, which is supposed to be a doctorate in theology, and to me it just means think harder, dummy. You know, you're reading it, but you ain't getting it. And Paul has these men lined up against him, and he said, look, I shouldn't have to, but I'm going to defend myself. So I'm laying this foundation so we kind of understand where he's coming from in the text today. So please bear with me. Paul said, do they want to brag? Okay, I'm going to brag a little bit. Whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardships, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from these things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I'm not indignant? Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses. Now, he's done this boasting. And as I said, later he says, this is foolish, this is pointless. You know what Paul was getting across in this both epistles? You don't want to take these scriptures out of context. That too many times we do that. Teachers do it, preachers do it. You'll take one scripture and you'll run somewhere where it doesn't belong. So you need to keep it in context. You don't sit down and read a book and read the middle of the book and then put the book up and say, yeah, I've got it all figured out. You don't do that. You have to read from start to finish. The same way with these epistles. You don't take one little scripture out of there and make it say what you want it to say because you're doing a disservice to the Word of God. And Paul had made these boasts, and then later he said, this is foolishness. And the common theme throughout his epistles is Jesus Christ. Paul said, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about our education. It's not about our credentials. It's not about all the things we like to brag that we've done for the Lord. He said the focus is on Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That is what we're to focus on in the church. Now, we like pats on the back. I like it sometimes when somebody comes up and says, that was a good message, or I got something out of it. Yeah, I like that. But that's not what I do it for. I think I can say that in all honesty. I want to present the Word of God to you. I told you my goal is to make disciples for Jesus Christ, and the less of me that's in that, the better it is, because I just want to present the Word of God to you, and this is what God says. I'm not an authority. I'm just a messenger boy. And Paul, he does some bragging. He said, well, if you want to hear me brag, here, I'll brag. But then he said, this is pointless. This is useless. Paul was there to glorify Jesus Christ, who came to glorify the Father. He gives the Holy Spirit to his people, not so we can glorify the gifts of the Holy Spirit and brag about our abilities in the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit came to give glory to him. So if you want to glorify the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that is a Christless Pentecost. David Wilkerson wrote an article on that before he died, and he was a Pentecostal minister. He was ashamed at what was going on in a lot of the Pentecostal churches. So it was like a sideshow, like a circus. He said, we are here to glorify Jesus Christ as his church. Do you agree with that? Then it's not about you and it's not about me. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. I remember a lady in one church got very upset with something the pastor said. And she said, me and my husband have done a lot in this church and we deserve to be recognized. Well, I didn't say it, but I thought, well, is that why you did it? You wanted that pat on the back? You wanted to be recognized? The Lord God said, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know what that means? Love is our motivation, church. Our love for God is what prompts us to serve Him. Not the pats on the back, not the attaboys or attagirls, not for recognition. It's because we're here to glorify Jesus Christ, and He deserves glory, doesn't He? Yeah, it's not about me. I don't deserve to be glorified. Jesus Christ deserves to be glorified. That's my goal as a Christian. That was Paul's goal as an apostle. So he brags about this that we read. Then the New Living says, Paul says, 14 years ago I was caught up to the third heaven, to paradise. Now I know the King James and the ESV and the NIV and the others say, I knew a man 14 years ago. But the NLT says that Paul actually says, I was caught up to heaven. Wow. And he said, I heard things that weren't lawful for me to speak, weren't permitted for me to speak. They were too wonderful for me to speak. Now that's a revelation. Paul told the Corinthians later, you forced me into this. He said, this is foolish, this is pointless, but you pushed me into this because you wanted to hear some boasting. Now, the introduction's over. Now we're going to get into the sermon. Just kidding. Some of you are already going, oh my gosh. Paul said, to keep me from becoming conceited, there was a messenger of Satan sent. The King James says, to buffet me. You know what buffet means? Some translations say to harass, to torment me. You get the picture. Paul said, this demon was sent to aggravate me. But God showed Paul something else. I love this. He said he was sent to keep me from becoming puffed up, conceited. I think God said, Paul, you're getting a little bit of a big head. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul told the Galatian church, you've heard of my conversion. And he said, look, when I came to Christ, I didn't go to Jerusalem and talk to the other apostles. I went to Arabia for 2 years, and Jesus personally taught me the revelation of the gospel. He said, then 14 years later, I went to Jerusalem and met the apostles. So he'd been preaching the gospel for 14 years just off of what the Lord told him. Paul said, I didn't go sit with these other guys. He wasn't saying that to boast. But he said, when I did go meet the apostles, I preached to them what I'd been preaching to make sure that I was right, to make sure I was preaching what I should have been. And he said, they gave me the right hand of fellowship. They said, you go get them, dude. That's what we're preaching. That's what we're to preach. In fact, Paul said all the apostles were to honor Jesus Christ. And I've heard men today that claim to be apostles and prophets, they want to make disciples for themselves, not for Jesus Christ. And that is satanic, church. God's not in that. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care how many degrees you have or letters in your name, following your name. If you're not here to glorify Jesus Christ, you're spitting in the wind. Jesus said you better enjoy what you get here because that's all you're going to get. That's all the reward you'll get. Now, Paul, I think it took humility. Paul said to the church, I think I was kind of getting a big head. And God allowed this demon to torment me. This is a guy that had cast demons out of people through the Holy Spirit. He had cast demons out of people. He had healed the sick. Miracles were at work in him, but he couldn't get rid of that demon. Too bad he didn't have the TV preachers around back then. They could have said, well, Paul, all you got to do is rebuke him in the name of Jesus and he'll leave you alone. It wasn't working. Paul said, I couldn't do it. So what did he do? He did the smart thing. He said, I turned to the Lord and begged him 3 times. The Greek there means pleaded, begged, got on my knees, fell on my face, said, God, take this away. I can't take it. And Jesus said, no. You need this. Is that you, Lord? That can't be the Lord telling me I need something that makes me feel this bad. You know, we got to be careful, church, sometimes. We Christians blame things on the devil that he's not doing, And you know that offends a holy God when you and I blame Satan for things that he's not guilty of. God's holy. And he doesn't even want you accusing the devil falsely. But boy, we're ready to do it. Oh, that devil was doing that. Paul didn't say that. He said, Lord, would you take this demon away? I'm paraphrasing. The Lord said, no, I'm the one that sent him. I'm the one allowing him to do that. You need this, Paul. You got the big head. You need to be humbled a little bit. What's the word say? If I exalt myself, God will humble me. You ever been humbled? I guess you've never exalted yourself. I have. Yeah. Boy, he'll jerk the rug out from under your feet, and you'll hit the ground, look around, and go, oh, what happened? How did I get here? So the Lord said to Paul, you need this. He said, Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You ever been in a place, Christian, where you just think you can't go anymore? I can't take any more of this. I cannot go any further. And all of a sudden, you have the strength. One more step. One more day. All right, Lord, one more hour. One more. You know why that is? Jesus told Paul, because that's my strength. It's made perfect in weakness. There's a passage in Hebrew a lot of Christians probably ignore, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm above anyone. It hit me hard one day. In the book of Hebrews, it said even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Hey, God, there's other ways of teaching me obedience. I don't necessarily need to suffer, but does he know what you and I need? Yeah, better than we do. Better than we do. I like to watch science shows sometimes, except when they get into evolution, and it just turns me off. But they were at this tree nursery, and they had these seedlings they started in a greenhouse, and then they took them outside. And they said the reason was if they grew these trees in a controlled environment with no wind, they would grow up straight and tall, but they'd be weak, and they would break the first time they were in a storm. They said these saplings had to be bent and pushed back and forth by the wind to develop the strength to stand in storms. And you know what I believe? God does the exact same thing in your life and in mine. He's building us up. Remember what we talked about a Sunday or two ago? God's goal is to make us into the image of his Son. And Jesus didn't have an easy road to go when he walked this earth. People that tell you that just want your money. That's all they want. We have to have the resistance. We have to have the storms. We have to have the trials because they build us up. I don't know who said it originally, but I was always fond of saying, if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you stronger. And somebody had told me that one time. They said, Rick, if it doesn't kill you, it's going to make you stronger. God's goal is to strengthen us. But you know what? He doesn't leave us. When you and I reach that point like Paul did, that we said, I just can't do this. Jesus says, I can. And I will. So see, you don't rely on your strength, you rely on his. How did I get down here? Man. That used to make me nervous when preachers would get down, start walking down the aisle, get right up close, like, ugh. I'll defend myself, if he gets too close. But that's the beauty. We're talking about spiritual blessing. That is a blessing that our Lord and Savior, our King, lives inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I got this. You do what I call you to do. You give it your best. And when you get to the end of your rope, I'll take it from there. You ever read that poem about the guy walking in the sand, footprints, and at the roughest times of life, he only sees one set of footprints. And he said, Lord, you said you'd never leave me. And Jesus said, I didn't leave you. That's when I carried you. God ever carried you? Boy, he's carried me a bunch. A bunch. He's the one that gives me strength to keep going. I'm going to tell you, this is a special day to me. 20 years ago today, I knelt out there in the old church And the elders of this church placed confidence in me by laying hands on me and ordaining me as a minister of Christ 20 years ago today. And in those 20 years, there have been times I say, Lord, I want to quit. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And that's in my life. That's when I sense the Lord saying, I got this, Rick. You just keep going. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of you. And he gives me that strength. And it's not just for preachers. He does it for anyone who is bound and determined they're going to live for him and they're going to do God's will in their life. God says, I got you. That's what he said to Paul. I got this, Paul. He said, my strength's made perfect in your weakness. Did you see how Paul's boasting changed? He went along with these false teachers, and then he said, now let me tell you what I really want to brag about. I'm so weak. I just can't do this on my own. But Jesus Christ can do all things through me. Yeah, that's the kind of bragging we need to do in church. We don't need the pats on the back. We don't need the recognitions. Like I said, it's nice sometimes to get recognized for some things, but hey, it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Well, that was weak. Is it all about Jesus? This means yes, this means no. Okay. Some of you are grinning at me, saying, ah, you idiot, yeah. You know what we mean. Now the introduction's over. Okay. You know, Charlie Kirk was assassinated the other day. And I know we've heard about it ever since the 10th. And there was a passage in 2 Corinthians that I read, and it hit me full blast. And I've been reading this book for 41 years, and the implication, the weight of it hit me. And I want to share this with you. Paul explained earlier in his letter why the apostles and the Christians are so hated by the world. He said, we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. And then Paul ends that with a question, who is sufficient for these things? You know why Charlie Kirk was shot? Now, this is my opinion. Because he was not afraid to tell the truth. He was not afraid to debate people. Not in a mean way. Just say, let's talk. You present your argument, I'll present mine. And they couldn't beat him. There were young people that were changing their minds when they listened to this man. And I was reading this the other day, and I thought, yeah, Lord, that makes sense. Do you know why the world hates the church? The true church that speaks the truth? Because we're the fragrance of death to them. We're a reminder God is going to judge you. And we can tell you this in love, and we're warning you to turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ, and to you that's a death sentence. So we got to shut them up. Poor Charlie Kirk was like the Apostle Paul. They couldn't shut him up, so they had to take him out. That's how they shut Paul up. They cut his head off. Paul wouldn't shut up. He wouldn't take the hint. They put him in prison twice and let him go and said, now get out of here, boy. And he kept preaching. They said, okay. Charlie Kirk spoke the truth. I'm not here to praise Charlie Kirk. But I'm telling you, when I read this scripture the other day, it hit me right between the eyes, and I said, that makes sense, Lord. And here the church is, we're trying to compromise with the world and preach a seeker-friendly gospel. Well, you're not a sinner. No, God loves you just like you are. You don't have to change. He doesn't expect that. Just be the best you can be. That's a lie. God takes you just as you are, but he's going to change you. And if you're not willing to work with him, you ain't going to make heaven your home. So see, we have a part in it. It's called holiness. That's a bad word. Don't talk about holiness. This is not a holiness church, brother. You may have talked like that at the Nazarene church, but we don't want to hear it here. Y'all talk about it in the Baptist church. Boy, you want to see people get upset. Oh, wait a minute. No, we're not into holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. I didn't say it. The Bible does. You know what the good thing is? God doesn't expect me to be holy in my own power or my definition of holy, because we got some pretty funky definitions of what holiness is. Well, if you're holy, you don't wear makeup. You don't wear short dresses. You don't wear short sleeve shirts. See what I'm getting at? I've heard it all. What's holiness? When we submit to Jesus Christ and allow God to mold us into His image, and molding is painful, church. And at times we get exhausted like Paul did here, and we say, God, I can't do this. And God says, I can. You just stay in your faith. You stay with me, and I'm going to mold you into the person I want you to be. Yeah. So church, maybe that's not a revelation to you. It was to me. We're the fragrance of death. To those who refuse to repent and believe the gospel, we're a death sentence. So stop trying to make friends with these people. I'm not saying don't share the love of Christ in love, but don't compromise and bring yourself down to their level just so they'll go easy on you. Okay? Nobody ever loved like Jesus. Nobody ever spoke the truth like Jesus. No one was more accepting of sinners than Jesus, and they nailed him to a tree because he spoke the truth. Paul spoke the truth. He doesn't brag about it a lot in there, but he does point out, I spoke the truth to you. I told you the truth. You received it. And now you're wanting to question, do I really love you? You know, am I really an apostle? He told him, you forced me into this. But when you read the context, that's what I'm saying. Go home. I spent the week reading 1st and 2nd Corinthians over and over and over. Not boasting, just I did that to get ready for this. The whole point Paul makes in Corinthians, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about Apollo. It's not about Peter. It's not about your favorite Sunday school teacher. It's about Jesus. And when we commit to that, church, when this church commits to glorifying Jesus Christ, if every one of us will do that, all the squabbles will stop, the backbiting will stop, the I didn't get my way and I'm not happy, that's going to stop if we're all in it to glorify Jesus Christ. Because if you have a better idea than I do, I'm going to go with it. Yeah. If that's going to bring glory to Jesus, let's do that. I don't have to be in the spotlight. I don't like being in the spotlight. We're here to glorify Jesus Christ, are we not? And he promises us that he's going to give us the strength to do it. We need to be like Paul. I'll just brag about my weaknesses. Yeah. I've had people tell me, I wish I could remember scriptures like you. You must have a mind like a steel trap. Man, I had too much fun in the 70s. My mind just goes all over the place. It's the Spirit of Christ in me that brings those scriptures to my remembrance. I'm not boasting on me. Jesus told me he'd do it. He said he'll teach you the truth. He'll remind you of the truth. So don't go around telling people, boy, that Rick, he can really remember stuff. No, he can't. Because I couldn't tell you what I had for supper 2 days ago. Yeah. I walk into a room and I can't remember what I came to get, and then I can't remember, was I coming in or leaving? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. That's where my head's at. I lose my keys all the time. Couldn't find my dentures one day and then realized I had them in my mouth. Good night. What an idiot. But boy, I'll tell you what, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. That's why I get up here and preach and teach. It's not for glory. It's not for pats on the back. It's because I believe that's what I'm called to do. And there's times I don't want to do it. I have people tell me, well, Rick, I wasn't in church. I just wasn't feeling good. I've got up and preached when I had a fever. When I thought I was going to puke all over the platform, and thank God I didn't. I don't think that'd be a good sermon illustration. It'd be kind of hard to work that into a message. But see what I'm saying? And I'm not boasting on me. I'm saying that's Christ in me. Jesus Christ loves his church. He wants to build this church up, his church up. He wants to build you up. And when you think you can't go another step, he says, I got this. You just count on me. You just hang on to my hand. I'm going to get you through this. Do you believe that? Some of you do. Why don't you stand with me this morning? I'm talking about spiritual blessings, and there'd be ministers who would say, well, you kind of pull that out of context. Well, that's okay. You got your opinion, I got mine. This is what I see it as. Paul was telling the church, you know, all the stuff I go through, I just think I can't do this anymore. And the Lord says, it's okay. But by the way, Paul, he said, you need this harassment. You were getting a little big head. And boy, it humbled Paul and brought him right back to square one where he was supposed to be, where he deserved to be. Sometimes God does that to you and I, Christian. We get taken to the spiritual woodshed. We get a spiritual thumping. Or maybe I'm the only one here that's happened to. I've been in the woodshed several times. You know, and I love him for doing that because the Bible says he doesn't want to judge me with the world. So now he chastises me to line me out. I'm still a work in progress, so don't say good night, God. You know, how long is it going to take? He's still working on me. He's still working with you. Be patient. Hang on to your faith and understand that Jesus will walk you through anything you think you can't get through on your own. You just have to trust him. You may not get your way, but he'll always do it his way, and that's the right way.